The baptism of Christ. Once again, another process that I'm not sure I totally understand why Jesus needed to partake in. We talked a couple of weeks ago about Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to the temple for purification as a newborn. And now here we are, Jesus being baptized, the purest being cleansed. It's confusing to me why Christ needed to be baptized. But I do understand the need for Christ to show us humanity and to show us a path to follow. And to be honest with you, I really like Mark's portrayal of Jesus' baptism. So let's look closely at it today. I think I want to start first with John the Baptist. A rather quirky individual, we would probably say. When we hear of him in the scripture, we repeatedly hear of his clothing and the fact that he likes to eat locusts and honey. John was what we call a Nazarite. From birth, he was set aside to be totally devoted to God. Nazarites were to live away from society. He didn't trim his beard, he didn't cut his hair. He lived away in the desert and he ate locusts and honey. Just different from the average Joe or John in this case. And when Jesus left home, he headed to the wilderness, or the desert as we would call it, in a way following the path that was set by John the Baptist. They were cousins. He was about 6 months ahead of Jesus. And so it was kind of interesting that Jesus' path would follow John the Baptist. It's also interesting that Mark doesn't tell us anything about dialogue between John the Baptist and Jesus, just that Jesus walks in and is baptized. No, how are you today? No class to go through to be checked up on to make sure you know what you're doing. No, how's your mom doing? Just walks into the water and wants to be baptized. So the dialogue probably wasn't real important to Mark. We know that they're in the river. I've also loved the idea of baptizing in a river. I have never done that. I've never baptized anyone in the river. And coming from Oklahoma, my experience with rivers are a little different than they are here in Texas. First of all, the only rivers I can think of ever going to were red, just red from the clay of the rivers. And they were not clear in any way, shape, or form. They also were not very moving. They were pretty slow moving. I've seen rivers here in Texas. I've watched them go from a slow babbling brook 1 minute to outside of their banks, flooded, carrying animals and houses down the river in a matter of moments. Texas is a little bit different as far as rivers are concerned. Rivers that can be so swift moving that you couldn't keep your feet under you to walk across them, much less to be able to baptize someone. So rivers might be a little iffy for me now as far as baptism is concerned. But what does it mean that Jesus was baptized in a river? It means that's what they had. That's what was available. It also means that Jesus was baptized in water actually standing in the water. We don't know. We don't know if he was totally immersed, if his head was just, if he knelt forward and water was poured over. We don't know if they knelt him forward or knelt him back. We don't know any of that. Mark doesn't tell us any of that. And you know what? That doesn't really matter. Mark is not concerned with the details. He's concerned with Jesus following and leading. I personally think the calmness of our baptistry is wonderful. Clear, basically clean water, sometimes warm, if we're lucky. We can predict what's going to happen in that baptismal chamber. In a river, maybe not. Now, I have had a few times in baptizing when someone has gotten stiff on me and legs have gone straight in the air. I have baptized when someone was larger than I thought and I had a hard time getting them out of the water. But for the most part, we can predict what's going to happen in that chamber. It remains calm and beautiful and quiet, and we come ready and willing, and it's a beautiful experience for us. I don't know if you can still remember, but I can still remember the day I was baptized. I remember it was a Sunday night. You remember when we used to have Sunday night church? It was a Sunday night. I remember what I wore to church, mostly because there are pictures of me in the sanctuary that day. I remember the excitement that I felt before and after. I couldn't wait to tell people that I'd been baptized. I remember how safe the pastor made me feel in that water. I don't really remember it being a dramatic moment. But you know, I'm not really sure that was the case for Jesus. It seems like it really was a dramatic moment from the few words that Mark tells us. He says it a little bit different than the other Gospels tell us. Mark says, "The heavens were torn open." That's not a phrase that sounds peaceful and calm and quiet. The heavens were torn apart, ripped open. I think that's what the people were looking for. They were looking for something dramatic. If you read the Isaiah 64 scripture, it says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." Isaiah proclaimed it. Israel wanted a God to come down and right the wrongs and lift the poor and set free the captives, bring power to the oppressed and healing to the suffering. Well, on that day it happened. People recognized that Jesus was here for a reason. The heavens were changing. And Jesus had a real calling. "You are my son." Can you imagine the weight that carried? "You are my son. You're not a prophet that I'm sending with some information that I want you to share. You're my son. And I'm pleased. I'm pleased with you." But you know, that meant Jesus had a lot to do. From there on out, it was not all going to be pleasant. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a lot of it that's going to be pretty rough. That was the beginning of Jesus' mission and his calling. So what does that have to do with us? What does baptism have to do with us? We're called into that same river. Maybe we take an easier road and we step into the baptismal chamber. But it's still an important calling. When we follow Jesus into baptism, we have to accept that same voice. It's saying, "You are my child. You are my child, and I'm calling you by name." But by golly, it's not going to be a life of easygoing. Your life's going to have some bumps along the road. Not everyone is going to think the best of you, and sometimes you'll have to make choices that aren't the choices you'd like to make. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It means that baptism can be rough. Years ago, I quoted Annie Dillard when she said, as Christians, that we sometimes need to wear crash helmets. Well, I think in baptism, we might need life preservers. Because I've seen how fast the waters can rise. And there's not always enough time to respond. I'm afraid sometimes we make baptism too easy. It's something we all do. At a certain age, you make a decision, you walk the aisle, you're baptized. Next Sunday, you're a church member. I love that Kevin is taking 6 weeks where he's really talking to the youth about what it really means to walk into the baptismal waters. Because it's important. It's not just a rite of passage. It's a decision. I had a great discussion this week with some other pastors about what it means for them to baptize. What it means for the Catholic priest, for the Lutheran minister. Some baptize infants, some baptize adults, some baptize with immersion, some with sprinkling. But for all of us, it was a meaningful time. Yes, an ordinance in our church. Yes, a rite of passage. But so much more. And I was so proud to be able to say that for me and for our church, that baptism is not salvation. That baptism is the way that we connect with Jesus. The way that we say, I know that Jesus walked on this earth. I know that Jesus lived a life like mine. And that even though he didn't have to do the things he did them for me. And for me, walking into that water says to Jesus and to those in my world, Christ did this for me, and I return the favor. Today, I want us to remember our baptism. Or maybe you haven't been baptized, or maybe you don't remember. For whatever reason, that's okay. Remember Christ's baptism. Remember that baptism doesn't make the road easier. If anything, it makes it more difficult. But remember, as you come forward, as we sing our hymn of response, there's a fountain full of rocks. Take a rock with you. Take that rock and let it be a reminder to you of what your baptism meant to you, of what Jesus' baptism meant to you, what Jesus' baptism meant to our world. And those rocks, worn smooth from all of the years of water running over them can be a reminder to you. We will stand and we're going to sing, "Shall We Gather at the River?" A good old Baptist hymn that can help us remember. If you feel so led during this time of response, you can come and take a rock. If you want to stay where you are, you may do that also. If you have a decision you'd like to share with this church, or if you would like to unite with this church in any way, I'll be here at the front as we sing, "Shall We Gather at the..."